Well, hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, a podcast focused on that zero emission future that we all hope for. And every week I get joined by one of the wonderful members of the team, the EV Cafe team, and I've got the lovely Sarah Sloman, who is on air for those of you that are watching.
Yes, I am. Apparently I was meant to put it outside the room in case people intrude, but it's really only going to be the cat and he can't read. So I've got my on air sign with me. Thanks for having me, Paul.
Oh, hey, listen, this is our pleasure. And we get to talk to wonderful industry pioneers, collaborators and innovators. And today, it's never an exception, to be fair. And we've got the lovely Michael Braybrook from Zaptec. Michael, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. And I'm glad to be on air, as I can see everyone else is, which is great. I'm going to have to get a sign. I feel very... undressed set. That's what I feel.
Neon-less.
Like okay.
Don't worry, listeners. He only feels undressed. He's not actually undressed. So don't go rushing to YouTube just to see it. But anyway, Michael, it's a real pleasure to have you on board. And listen, help us out. Those people that have not had the pleasure of understanding who Zaptec are and who Michael Braybrook is, please give us like just a picture of you and Zaptec.
So Zaptec, we're a global company, but our origins are in Norway, where we started about 12 years ago. Not many people know this, but actually we started out building lasers to work in spacecraft, to work in expeditions to Mars. We had contracts with NASA. And what was really interesting was it's true. I know it's where the name actually makes sense when you think about it.
Yeah.
But it's to do with the load balancing technology that we created to get that to work had other implications. And one of those ones was EV charging. So I think the term pivot is probably loosely relevant here, but we moved away from space exploration and concentrated on EV exploration, or what could we say, scaling up. And so you fast forward 12 years later, we have HQs in 9 different countries across the globe, and we distribute to a further 18. So there's it's a big bit of growth. And go bring it back to me. I joined 2 years ago in the UK. UK is one of the newer markets for Zaptec. And we see this as what we kind of call our kind of growth countries, like ourselves, France and Germany, where the adoption is really in the ascendance. And we offer a range of our products. Most recently, we launched our Go2 product, which is our next generation charger. And alongside that, we have our Go1 and our Pro commercial charger. And I suppose my role here really is building a team, creating some great wins and some kind of putting the flag in the beachhead, as it were, and then building upon those successes for the next couple of years. So it's been a really good journey. It's been really exciting. We're based in London, but we have people dotted all over the UK. And we kind of work in a kind of a hybrid kind of model, really. So it's great to get that communication together. It's great to get those ideas together. But we really kind of picked a couple of different sectors, and the whole team rallies around that. And those kind of sectors are echoed across the whole of the globe. So there's us in a snapshot. I could go on longer, but I think I'll...
And that was the podcast.
It's super exciting. Yeah,
and
that was the podcast. Yeah.
No, that's wonderful. And actually, you get extra points for not falling foul of the pun skyrocketing, as your sales have in fact gone through the roof. Bloomberg reported that you are one of very few hardware manufacturers who actually turned profit in the last 3 years. So claps to that. And Bloomberg salutes you and names you in their latest report. And that's what I was going to ask you, actually, the secret sauce. I think it's that culture. I think you've got a great product. You've got 3 really focused products, an amazing team around the world. How do you, as you in the UK as country manager, keep that focus sharp with your team?
I think it's communication and also building the DNA of the team. There's lots of great articles or stories or podcasts or things that you can get inspiration from. And over the last couple of years, I've kind of distilled it down to sort of two words just to make it easy. But I said, look, we've got to be realistic, but we've got to be resilient. And I think that's what we realized, that we're breaking new ground. You know, recently hired a number of people, and it's difficult to find anybody with 10 years experience because it just wasn't around 10 years ago. So you tend to find qualities in people who know how to problem solve. You know, there's actually a quote by Arnold Schwarzenegger, which I recently came across, which I found I really liked. And he was like, don't bring problems to the table without a solution. You know, if there's a challenge, it's come and talk about it, bring ideas. And that's not meant to be a negative towards anything, but I think what we're doing is we are problem solving, we are working with an ever-changing marketplace, and we're also educating at the same time. So if you kind of distill that down to being realistic and being resilient, that's kind of what our culture is, and that's what we aim to work on. But hey, we also review everything all the time, and it's, you know, one of the big things we all agree on is if you get better information, reserve the right to change your mind or to make plans to move forward in a different way. So we're not too precious. We definitely are our biggest critics, and I think that's what keeps us sharp, and that's what keeps us honest and on the ball.
And so much fun. That's the thing about the Zaptec crew. The EV Cafe relationship goes way, way back with Zaptec. You have an amazing team, and I just love seeing you guys in action. We got to see the go-to launch on the EV rally this year. So John was there, I was there, Paul, you were there. I don't think Sam made it through the checkpoint in time, but it was just wonderful to hear all about it. And you've just cracked every single nut. There's so many elements within EV charging, including the little meter that nobody else is doing. You know, it's just a fantastic, fantastic product. I think you should go into why the go-to is such a good product if you can.
Yeah, well, I think it's nice that you point that out, because I think it also ties in with, you know, our heritage in other parts of Europe, you know, we're all aware that, you know, we are a part of Europe, but we're not officially in it any longer. But we do see that lots of the standards are being adopted, you know, not just in the UK from Europe, but also from the rest of the world, you know, the States, Australia, what have you. And I think it's as you kind of come into a more of a EV positive society, people realize these are the things they need. And by us being ahead of the curve, we're basically being we're doing what's needed in other parts of the world, which are going to be adopted here. And I think it may look like we're a little bit ahead of ourselves, but actually from a standpoint about how you become profitable, if you can create a product that works in every country, your COGS price is something which goes down. If your quality goes up and your cost of building goes down, you can then come to the market with a really interesting price point, which makes people feel that they're getting really good value for what they're buying. And I think the go-to represents that. It's the next generation of charger. It, you know, it has next generation solar, it has mid metering, and it's V2G ready. You know, so whereas we start to see more of the car companies figure out the best way to do this, this charger now becomes something they can just drop in to their mix. And, you know, we're also working with lots of energy and utility companies, and it's kind of those are the three parts of the puzzle you need for V2G to work. It's charger, utility tariff, and OEM on the car manufacturing front. So the Go 2 itself is very similar to the original Go 1, which, you know, was a kind of award-winning red dot design, really, 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 really positive, one of the really, really strong chargers in terms of its how it operates in all kinds of conditions. There's a story I love to tell, and it's about our returns policy. You know, so basically we have a pallet in our Manchester distribution center, and when that's full up, we send it back to Norway with you know, damaged chargers or faulted chargers. And in the sort of 3.5 years we've been here, we haven't filled it up yet, so it's never gone back. And that's also the reason why we offer a 5-year guarantee. You know, as any company would recommend, if you offered that, you wouldn't do it if you weren't, you know, sure this wasn't going to be a sensible thing to do. So taking of that kind of basis, we've now built the Go2, which, you know, offers you all these different opportunities and all these different options. It's also 1 and 3 phase as well, so it fits into both the UK and the kind of wider European market. And it also incorporates a screen, which is I've got to say, out of all the amazing things it does, it was the bit that first caught my attention when I looked at the plans for it. And I was like, wow. So we could get logos on it, could we? We could have people's car badges on it. Or could we have QR codes that could be, you know, there's no chance of anyone putting a sticker over that and cloning it. It could be something that's really there. And I think the idea about using the charger as something you could tap in and get the information from every day, you know, could even be about, you know, the changes in the weather. It could be, you know, at a certain time of the year, you need to change your tires or put your pressure. It's something really every day like that. It just kind of adds to the innovation that kind of holds dear to Zaptec. So, but we're really excited about it. We launched it in September. We've already had some fantastic orders and we've got lots of installs going out. And I think once we start to see this kind of fitting in with the rest of the whole green mortgage side of the business, which is kind of popping up, you know, you're starting to see mortgage lenders saying, if you've got an EV charger at home, if you've got solar, if you've got battery, if you've got heat pump, then you're saving so much money. We can lend you a little bit more of a mortgage. And I think you'll start to see these smarter charges really proving to be a benefit to the built environment industry, and just becomes more omnipresent then. You know, I think we all know this, the renewable sustainability pluses of EV charging, but also when it makes sense financially as well, that's the dream, I think. Doing good and saving money.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europcar, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europcar's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europcarma. Search Europcar Business.
Doing good and saving money. My goodness, that should be a strapline, shouldn't it? Michael,
it could be, couldn't it?
It's quite a technical world, though, isn't it? I mean, let's be honest, we've talked a lot about some quite technical stuff there, single and three phase, we've talked about V to G, we've talked about, you know, this bi-directional world. What does that really mean to the consumer? So for me now, I'm at home here, I've got a charger, I've got Octopus, and perhaps I buy a BYD. And the reason I'm saying that is because obviously you've got a case study about your partnership with Octopus BYD and your charger, your bi-directional charger. What does that mean for a consumer or for a business, right? Because a business could do the same sort of thing. How could it help?
You know, it's got so many implications, and it's really, when you start talking about it, you start talking about the bigger picture rather than just the components that we are in that bigger plan. And I'm reminded of a news story that came out recently in Switzerland, where they're putting solar panels into train tracks, you know, and it's fantastic. You've got this, there's no change to the environment. The train tracks are already there. You put them in the middle. Let's face it, the train's only over the top of them for a very short period of time while it's going along. And obviously the trains are running electric and it makes sense. But I also, I tie back to, I think about, you know, car parks in train stations and airports. And I think about working from home. And if you've got a car, which is essentially a massive battery, which is, you're going to be stationary for 8-9 hours a day in a car park, in a train station, or at home, 2 or 3 days you may be working from home, that represents a huge opportunity for the energy companies in the UK to take energy that we normally throw away at night time because we don't have the use for it, store it in the battery for a cheap thing, and then take some of that out and put it back into the grid. And that's like all different energy providers having a power station they can just turn up and down, which you can't do currently, as we all know. And that's the reason why we lose things. If we have that, it then takes away our reliance on foreign fuels that come at a premium. If we start to do more and more renewables as how we generate our energy in the UK, this storage system then becomes absolutely amazing. And then what you're then meant to get as a consumer, you're looking at the energy companies who are saying, well, if you're going to have a V2G charger on your wall, we're not going to charge you for the energy you actually use to power your car. So all those stats, like if you did 15,000 miles a year, it's probably cost you about £3,000 in fuel. You know, it goes down to maybe £1,000 if you've got a standard connection, or if you've got an energy saving, cheaper charging connection, it goes down to £350. It becomes zero. And I just think, I remember, you know, my first car and being a skint student, putting 80 pence in the petrol tank one day because that's all I had. So now kind of fast forward and it's like I'd never actually have to pay for energy to fuel my car ever again. It's like there's too much dystopian television programs going around, and maybe there's a brighter future where everything starts to work and we get better. And I see this as being one of those things. So that's what I think it could mean to people and to businesses as well. Yeah, like if your energy is just cheaper, I think about solar going into warehouses and other types of industry, and like they're saving hundreds of thousands of pounds a year. And what does that mean? Does that mean higher wages for people and things like that? I guess it does, but I also think it gives us the money to innovate and create new things that allow us to grow even further into the future. So I'd say the Zaptec, the bit that we play in that part is a small part, but it's part of a bigger ecosystem, which is really exciting.
I don't think that small part should be underplayed, though, because, you know, without it, it's, you know, we're stuck at 1,000. We're stuck at whatever it is, that bigger number. But with it, it's suddenly, because this is the sort of thing that I was talking about sort of 2, 3, 4 years ago as I've been presenting to the van world, right? Because the vans are similar. They're, you know, bigger batteries typically on average, you know, and energy is going to be sitting in businesses overnight potentially and, you know, going back to the grid and then coming back and actually forming part of something that mitigates that total cost of ownership hike for the current hike. That's going to change, we know. But I just fail to see what is wrong with this electric future. So why are we getting this resistance? Is it because you mentioned education earlier? Do you think it's the lack of understanding out there that is causing people to think, oh, this is all going to cost more money, or it's just too difficult? You know, we're making it easy, right? And we're making it cheaper. What's stopping people going for it?
I think you're right. We are genuinely, as human beings, resistant to change if we don't fully understand. And, you know, as with modern times, it depends who you listen to and if you can kind of, you know, fact check or have the access or the time or even know where to look. It can be a little bit complicated. But I'm reminded of a year ago, I've got two small children and we went to a fireworks display and we were late meeting our friends because I've got two small children and they're often late. But I was in a queue and I had two retired couples behind me and they're having a conversation and one of the guys kind of leant into his friend and said, how are you getting on with your new Tesla? And you could sense the irony in his voice, as in like you've made a mistake. And he popped around and said, oh, I've done 17,000 miles and it's cost me £400. And then there was just silence. And then all throughout the rest of the queue going through, it was his friend saying, so how does it work and what does it mean? And he was just telling him. And he was the biggest advocate. And I thought, you know what? There was probably a time, like when people used to say that, you know, people of a certain age don't use social media, they're their biggest users. You know, it's the same sort of thing. And I'm reminded of my time at school and one of my friend's father had one of the first mobile phones. And it was like a suitcase with a thing. I remember being in his kitchen and we all crowded around to look at it. We were like, wow, this is amazing. You know, and you fast forward sort of 20 years later and we've got tiny supercomputers into our phones. So I feel like we're just at the very beginning. So we're definitely going to get resistance from people, but it's starting to break. I think people are getting it. There's too many people. And whereas it used to be that you'd have a conversation with somebody about all the pros and cons and telling them. And I love what Rory Sutherland did for the Standard a while ago, where he reverse engineered the story and said, imagine if electric cars were omnipresent and you invented diesel and you went in and said, right, it's got 279 parts and it's a controlled explosion. People will be like, what? I think what it is like we're getting to that point now where, you know, it's like you don't have to listen to anybody. Just go and try it. Just go and take one for a couple of days or a few hours and you'll get it straight away. And that's the positive part, is it does what it says on the tin. And I think also we're looking at the part how cars purchased in the UK. They're normally purchased through kind of the approved used or things like this. And the first lot of fleet cars because Fleet jumped onto it straight away because it makes so much sense commercially, as well as it being a good thing. They're now starting to come into the market. So then the entry point is taken away. People can pick up. I mean, we know that we work with Polestar, but you know, you can pick up a Polestar 2 through their used network to anywhere between £18,000 to £20,000. That's an amazing car. Does 400 miles on a single charge. It's fantastic. So shameless plug for Polestar there. Let's see if I'll enjoy that. But no, seriously, you know, it goes across for any kind of like manufacturer. And I think that's the bit that's changing. That's what's waking people up to maybe re-examining their first thoughts on this, which they maybe got 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, and on that, EV charging is an accessibility issue. You described there a conversation with a Tesla owner who obviously has home charging because it only costs £400 to do those miles that they boasted. And there was a time, sort of 5-6 years ago, where that was almost irritating because there was people with, you know, 90 grand cars talking about their fancy houses with their driveways, right? And this is a product which is predominantly home-based. I was really pleased to read today that there is going to be some huge changes for helping people to have cross-pavement solutions for home charging and opening up that opportunity for even that economic socialism where you get a cheaper mortgage because you can demonstrate your affordability because you're not spending as much on EV charging at home. What do you think we can do to encourage sort of workplace charging or destination charging on a lower power capacity level to sort of bring that price down for those who can't charge at home?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. It's one of the things that we struggled with a little while ago because you know, we have the Pro Charger, which is a fantastic charger, but, you know, it really comes into its own in multi-dwelling facilities, you know. So multi-dwelling facility, tower blocks, houses, that kind of thing. And because of the way things are kind of, you know, you can't wire a charger up to your apartment on the 15th floor. It has to go off a landlord's supply. There's all these sorts of tariffs. And it was challenging because, you know, why should you be punished for living in an apartment, you know? And realistically, the majority of apartments are kind of in cities, and you see more EVs in cities than you do outside of it. So it doesn't make any sense. But we worked with British Gas Centrica on this, and we're launching a new tariff. It's kind of live now, but it's we're going to make the big noise of it in the next couple of weeks. And essentially, it's a tariff that only works with the Pro, but it's designed just for that particular type of tower block, and it brings the kilowatt per hour charging down to 12-15 pence, whereas it's been sort of 7.75. And this is something that we're really keen. It also has a cheaper feeder pillar cost. So you often need to have feeder pillars, and there's kind of surcharges that go in. And that's being prohibitive because I think a lot of landlords are probably thinking, yeah, maybe 20% of my car park is EV at the moment. So do I really need to start laying out for this when it's not really there? Even though there are grants and things to do help you do that. If you take those kind of static costs, which I guess are just, you know, they're there because of back when this wasn't really a thing, no one really paid too much attention to it and didn't make too much sense. Now we're kind of working to find innovative new ways that we can kind of broaden that process. And I think the amazing thing is if you're then living in a multi-dwelling building or you know, maybe on the larger kind of tower block kind of estates, that's always been the problem. It's like, well, I can't charge. I can't do it because I live in an apartment. Now you can, and it can also be really, really cost effective. And also because it goes with a 22 kilowatt charger, depending on what you've got, but essentially you're going to get it a quicker charge as well. So these are the types of things which I think are making it easier. And I think workplace charging, yeah, like if you're looking at just getting into that grazing mentality of where you go, you plug in, you know, you're always really topped. I personally don't have a huge need to graze. I normally just fill up at home. If I sometimes go to biggest trip I probably do in my car, I sometimes go up to the Birmingham NEC, you know, and I can do that journey 300 miles without charging anymore. But if I needed to, I could literally, if I'm up there for 4 or 5 hours, I could graze, I could plug in, I could probably come back. I've got about 80% in my battery, which would keep me going to the end of the week. So it's just realizing that's all you need to do. That's the change, the sea change I think we have, and just how easy it is. Plus, I don't miss going to petrol stations at all.
No, I'm sure. Well, Zaptec, you've got this amazing messaging capability. Anybody who follows you on socials, it's really personable, it's really factual, and it's to the point about clean, free energy where possible. And so integrating that solar piece is huge. So thank you for answering it so honestly. And you as a leader as well, you're just wonderful. Seeing you on the rally really hit that home. You had people all around you. You were all swapping notes. There was no limelight to be stolen. It was all about everybody contributing to this awesome product suite.
Well, yeah, I hope so. It's nice to hear that. That's good. I hope that actually is the case.
Well, Michael, I mean,
I'm sure it is.
Well, talk to us about that, because, you know, leadership isn't just, you don't just fall over it. I mean, and what I've loved as we've been talking, just as we've been going along, is your ability to reflect back and assimilate stories into your into the way that you're communicating, reflecting back on that conversation, reflecting back on that first view of the telephone and all of these kinds of things. And they bring it to life. It's bringing it to life for me. What is it that kind of formed this leader in you early doors? What were the things that really kind of, yeah, inspired you to lead in the way that you do?
I'm not 100% sure. I used to like watching American TV shows when I was a kid, and there was always someone in charge. It was the A-Team or something. and I think it probably boils down to this sort of, I've got a kind of creative streak in me, which I've done in different things in my past. And when I was younger, I was more into art and music and things like that. And what I kind of realized in later life that, you know, creativity is essentially problem solving, you know, and it has different ways it kind of comes out. And, you know, some of the things you have in business is essentially it's problem solving, right? You know, it's getting over challenges, but also seeing the value that, you know, one person on their own can do a lot, but, you know, two or three people together can do a hell of a lot more. And, you know, a whole team pulling in the same direction is fantastic. So I suppose it's about being inclusive and getting everybody involved and asking for information and giving everybody a voice, but also then being able to make decisions based upon that information rather than just feelings. And but I love working with people that, you know, you try to employ people that are better at things than you are. And, you know, I've got, so it'll become a stronger squad. And I often find myself making loads of football analogies and things like this. And I'm trying not to turn into David Brent in my old age, but it could be happening. I'm not sure. But it's kind of like, you know, when you want to kind of up a squad, you know, you want to kind of do something. And I've heard all these things in the past, like there was the time when like Tiger Woods was the best goalkeeper. Tiger Woods was the best golfer in the world. He was a goalkeeper, but no one really knows about that.
Oh, okay.
He kept that one quiet. But yeah, he was the best golfer in the world. And then he realized, he thought, I can get better. And he went and changed his grip. And it took him a little while to kind of get humming. And he came back even stronger. And I just think that, you know, he didn't go away and just invent that himself. He went away and he worked with people, you know, he listened, he tried new things. And I think that's possibly what I try to, in a roundabout way, try to build into a team, is that, you know, there's no challenge that we can't overcome. You know, we definitely don't go down and hang ourselves on lost causes, but we definitely give everything a really good go, and we communicate, and we, from that information, we make better decisions and we move forward in a stronger way. And focusing on just everyone's efforts they put in, have that empathy around people. I think one of the things I get a lot is that as a team, you know, most couples now both work, you know, and you have children as well. How do you kind of balance those things? And I think from our point of view, if we're building a sustainable, brighter future as part of the green energy ecosystem that we're in, you know, we've also got to make sure that our families are being looked after and take time to look after that. So we don't sweat the small stuff. We don't look at presenteeism and silly things like that. We focus on the big things and we support each other. And if you've got that as a team DNA, I feel that there's pretty much, you want to try and feel like there's nothing you can't kind of take on an approach. So I'm conscious now that I'm waffling, but you're asking me a question on the spot. I'm trying to figure it out. No, but I think that's roughly what I'm trying to.
Michael, the thing that screams at me from what you've just said before, I just I was going to call you Rach. Sorry, my daughter left me a note this morning. It was really nice. It was just on my computer, and it says "Love Rach," you know, and she's a grown up, right? And she left me this lovely message anyway. So that I was calling you Rach, Sarah. There we go.
I'll take it. That's kind.
beforehand. It sort of seems to be summed up in the, if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. Well, as Zaptec obviously started out wanting to go Mars, which seems like a long way off. But you guys seem to be like really setting up for the future and preparing for the future. It seems like it's exactly the right philosophy. And we don't always know why we do things and how we, why we feel the way that we do, or that our brain works the way that we do. But, you know, I'm sensing a real leader, Sarah. What do you think?
Yeah, I was resonating when you said, if you've got problems, you know, that's fine, but try to bring solutions at the same time. And that's certainly how I've always looked to lead, because as you say, you're surrounded by people who are way better than you. And that's the benefit of having a team. Now, Zaptec powers adventure is kind of sums it up for me. If you sort of approach every problem like, it's not insurmountable, it's an adventure, let's go, let's find our way through this muddle together. And that's what I like about your hierarchy too. It exists, of course it does, but even, you know, your chairman, your board, it all gets released. Anybody can read any of it at any time if we want to know what's going on with your business. And it seems like you've got this really open mind. And I wonder, does that, you talked about watching the A-Team and other great shows.
That's the first thing that came into my head. I didn't want to say it to you though, Michael.
I've heard worse.
And I've just got this feeling that John Curtis, who's usually here, would ask the same thing. Did all that leadership stem from your sort of childhood, your upbringing? Tell us a bit about that.
I'm not sure. Unfortunately, I lost my father when I was quite young. When I was sort of 9 years old. And I think it kind of, in many ways, I knew the story of him, and I kind of tried to emulate what I thought was the right thing to do. And I have this maybe an idea in my head about what's right and what's wrong. And I try to live within those things. And obviously I appreciate that, you know, the world's not black and white, and there's lots of shades of grey everywhere. But I think just having kind of empathy for situations and looking at what people need and want is kind of a background from it. I guess it's about listening, it's about communication, it's about learning. And I suppose my childhood upbringing, I was always interested in things. I always wanted to know why. I was just to get asked questions all the time. Why? And that some people I think they wanted me to ask that. So I wanted to just listen and write things down. I think rather than me changing the way I was, it just spurred me on to keep asking more questions. And that's probably just gone through my entire life. I just think anything's possible, because everything that, this is going to sound really coy now, I suppose, but everything that's ever been proven to be possible was somebody's idea at some point, right? So you have to, if you can embrace that, then maybe the outlook for the world is a lot more sunnier than if you're being told that things aren't possible. And I guess I don't know. This is the thing I have struggled the most. I can talk about anything, but myself, I'm a little bit resistant to. I don't know why. But I used to think that was being English, but maybe it's not.
Maybe it's not.
Maybe it's just human.
We won't turn this into a psych session, but I was...
Yeah. Should I lie down?
Yeah. Now, how does that make you feel? No, but Michael, I was the question that sort of sprung to mind, because you've used the word empathy a number of times, and it's really clear to me that you care. And I was going to say, why do you care? But I think, you know, losing your father at an early age, you obviously had to overcome something really challenging, and obviously it tested you emotionally. You can go one of two ways with those kinds of things. And you have lent into that, is what is my interpretation of the man I see before me today. You've lent into it. You've embraced the challenge that it was. You've walked through it. You've remained yourself. You've been curious. And now that's playing out in an empathetic and passionate and very knowledgeable leader that you are today. And it's I've learned something, and I'm going to do a John. I really like you. But you don't, you don't get to know people sometimes, and then you just kind of, something clicks and you just think, wow, I you're somebody I could really work with, and I would love to. You know, that kind of...
I'll send the contract over now. Sure. We'll fill the rest in later. It's fine.
Honestly, you'd hate it. But Saz, should we do it?
Should we do it?
Should we do it?
He doesn't know.
Should we do it? So listen, Michael, we have a closing tradition to present to you with the Eevee Cafe magic wand. There it is in all of its glory. It's even got a little zap.
Yeah.
It's got a little zap for Zap Tech.
Fantastic.
Look at that. Brilliant. It's like it was made.
We should have got
you
a rocket one. We should have got a rocket to send to you. Oh,
I don't know. I'm liking the zap for Zap Tech.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, you see. Yeah. So now we hand this to you. So it's coming your way. All right. There we go. It's
fantastic.
Oh, look, you got the mellow. Well done.
He's a natural. Michael, we've handed you the magic wand for a reason. We want to know what would you wish for? Give him one wish. Sadly, it's only one. Now, we've had world peace, so world peace is done. That's in the bank.
I must have missed that. Is that when did that start?
Yeah, hasn't quite kicked in yet, but it's been wished for.
That's okay, good.
But what would you wish for? Probably in our industry, but in your life as a leader and all of that kind of stuff. Talk to us about it.
If I thought about our industry and what I'd kind of I'd love to kind of happen quicker. And I think I've kind of touched upon it, but I'd love the synergy between the OEM car manufacturers and utility and charging companies to kind of become closer, become one, to form up a little bit more in terms of, you know, industry standards and kind of agreed kind of challenges that we could all work on. And because I think often to try and get to where we want to be, it's the ideas are clear. It's the execution and how you do it is the challenging part. And especially, you know, we're pretty much taking everybody in the world in different countries and different cultures and start all trying to work on the same kind of problem. So if I had a magic wand, I would just make that a lot easier. And then we could just get on with making it happen, putting it out there into the real world. So, I think we're getting there. But if I had a magic wand, we'd get there much quicker.
Fantastic. I love that.
Superbly succinct. And, you know, in fact, your succinct answer summarizes Zaptec beautifully in your management style too, which is make it simple, break it down, and nothing is insurmountable. And what we haven't even talked about is the aesthetic of these things. So I urge anybody to go and look them up. They are stunning. They are very beautiful. And I've had the pleasure of going to Norway, and I just want to go again just to go Zaptec hunting, go and spot them. But it has been a pleasure. And we did very well to not talk about the British construction show, whatever we went to as guests, where we were very, very naughty and awarded ourselves an award on the stage with Catherine Ryan. But that'll be for another day.
Oh, I'm going to say by getting the name wrong, you saved us, but then you dropped
it. I did. All good.
There was basically a geographical error that took place when we found ourselves on the wrong stage at the right time.
It's just so stupid. It really, really is. But it's been a pleasure. Thank you for being on our show with us. And over to Paul to close.
Michael, it has been a pleasure. You had me at lasers and going to Mars. I was like, what company starts like that and then pivots to charging? You know, okay. But what a fantastic story. And I've really enjoyed getting to know you. And I'm just really boosted with confidence, because V2G has been one of those things that, and you know, we could go into the details, but basically it means taking energy from a battery and moving it in two different ways, in and out, back to your house, your world, and back to the grid, and all of those kinds of stuff. And it is about that future-proofing thing, and also really benefits us financially. And for you guys to be bringing that to market and making it easier, easy to access, and then direct benefit, means that we can really move forward with confidence as an industry. So much I've learned today, and I've really enjoyed it, and I'm grateful to you. So thank you ever so much, Michael.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me on. I've enjoyed it as well. It's been really good, and I'm glad I'm getting the laser story about Zaptec out there. And if you ever get to Mars, you may find a Zaptec charger there. Wouldn't that be great?
That's so funny. That would be so cool. The little, because there'll be a an abandoned little buggy thing that's been sort of dropped on Mars, because they did get a buggy.
Hang on,
to
is
Mars,
that where you're
they?
Actually sending the faulty chargers to? You're just jetting them off to Mars. That we've revealed the secrets.
That's it. Absolutely.
As if. Oh, no way.
Anyway, Michael, thank you. And so listen, everybody, head over to Zaptec's website. You can, as Sarah pointed out, see the aesthetic of all of the chargers. You'll see all of the descriptions. There's case studies there, that Octopus BYD and Zaptec partnership that I talked about with Vita G is all there. So get an understanding of it and see how it can impact you in your life or your business, because it can make a difference. And connect with Michael, of course, on LinkedIn, and follow Zaptec on all their LinkedIn channels and whatnot. It's super cool, as Sarah gives us a bunch of hearts. It's very lovely. And of course, head over to the EV Cafe website. Check out all of our podcasts there. There's over 130 now. It's incredible. We've been doing this and talking to some amazing people. This, if you've enjoyed this, you'll enjoy the others as well. And we look forward to catching up with you. And don't forget, if you need a new vehicle, head over to leasing.com via the EV Cafe website, and you can find a great value van or a great value car. Happy days. Anyway, in the meantime, everybody, have a great day.